Ons is tans in 'n reeks waar ons God beter leer ken deur van sy name te bestudeer. Hoe hy homself geopenbaar het deur verskillende name en wat dit oor hom sê. Ek is baie bly dat jy ingeskakel het en dat die diens met ons deel. Grace and peace van my kant af. Die eerste naam wat ons bestudeer het was Jehovah Jireh, wat vir ons geleer het dat God die God is wat vir ons voorsien. En toe het ons stilgestaan by Jehovah Rapha en ons staan nog steeds stil daarby. Dis eintlik die derde Sondag wat ons stil staan by Jehovah Rapha, dat God die God is wat ook genees. En die rede hoekom ons so bietjie langer vertoef by hierdie onderwerp is, ek dink dit is so 'n belangrike onderwerp vir ons, want ek het verlede Sondag gesê, en as jy verlede Sondag se preek gemis het, wil ek regtig vir jou sê, wil jy nie asseblief daardie boodskap gaan kyk of gaan luister. Dit is beskikbaar as 'n podcast op Apple en op Spotify en op Google Podcasts, en dis beskikbaar op ons YouTube kanaal. So, ons het verlede week gesê dat een van die groot redes hoekom ons so sukkel om te glo dat God genees is, omdat ons ingekoop het baie keer onbewustelik in 'n religious leen wat sê dat God nie meer genees nie, dat hy in die Bybelse tyd genees het, dat Jesus genees het toe hy op aarde is, hier was, maar dat dit opgehou het en dat dit nie meer plaasvind nie. En ons het verlede week vir mekaar gesê, dit is 'n leen. En daardie leen het onbewustelik gemaak dat ons baie keer nie meer vir God sien as die geneesheer nie. Dat ons nie regtig glo dat hy kan genees nie. Dat ons in siektes vaskyk en dink dit is die einde of daar's niks wat God daaraan kan doen nie en dat ons maar net aanvaar, dat ons baie keer ownership vat van siektes. Selfs van emosionele seer kry en mental disease en mental issues. Die Here wil ons genees van al daai goed. Ons het dit gesien in die vorige twee boodskappe, nê. Nee, dat God ons wil genees, nie net van fisiese siekte nie, maar ook van mental diseases, nê. Nee. En hy wil ook ons harte genees, hy wil ons ook emosioneel kom genees. En hy wil ons kom genees van ons bitterheid. Maar kom ons staan bietjie meer intens stil vandag by die fisiese aspekte van genesing. Daardie aspekte wat sê van dat God in staat is, dat hy Jehovah Rapha is, dat hy nog steeds genees en in staat is om siektes te genees, in staat is om mental diseases te genees. Jy sien, die probleem is, ons hoor nie wat die woord sê oor God nie. Die woord sê dat hy nie verander nie. Die woord sê in Hebreërs 13 vers 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So met ander woorde, as God genees het 2000 jaar gelede, dan genees hy nog steeds. En dan oor 10 jaar en 20 jaar en 30 jaar en 1000 jaar, dan genees hy nog steeds. Want dis wie hy is. Hy is Jehovah Rapha. En ons moet net weer daarby kom dat ons dit begin glo. En daarom wil ek regtig vir jou vra, as jy dit gemis het, gaan luister asseblief na verlede Sondag se boodskap of gaan kyk weer daarna. En dan gaan ons vandag aan en ons kom vandag so bietjie meer by die praktiese deel van genesing. En ons kan baie boodskappe hê as dit gaan oor genesing en ons kan baie daaroor praat en ons gaan deur die jaar nog meer daaroor praat, nê. Nee, Maar vanmôre wil ons regtig praat oor die aspek van dat God vir my en jou wil gebruik. Ek wil amper as the catalyst of his healing, dat hy vir my en jou wil gebruik om vir mense te bid vir genesing. En nou wil ek net gou sê, nê, so lank in die kerk, veral in die tradisionele kerke, nê, was daar hierdie geloof gewees dat die dominee en die pastor, hulle gebede het meer krag as die gewone lidmate sin. Is 'n ding wat my frustreer het vanaf die dag wat ek in bediening gekom het. Dis vir my altyd 'n voorreg om vir mense aan die Here op te dra. Dis altyd vir my 'n voorreg om vir mense te bid. Maar my gebede het nie meer krag, het nie meer betekenis as wat jou gebede as 'n gelowige kind van God het nie. Jesus het gesê dat dat hy ons uitstuur, nee, en dat hy ons bemagtig, dat ons nou sy hande en sy voete, sy liggaam hier op aarde is. En deel van daarvan beteken, dat ek en jy as ware die catalyst moet wees, waardeur Jesus ook sy genesing kan bring vir mense. Maar die probleem is, as ek en jy nie glo, dat God ons kan gebruik in die genesingsproses, nee, dan gaan dit nooit plaasvind, nee, en ons gaan nooit die guts hê om vir mense te bid vir genesing nie. Ons gaan ook eers nie die guts hê om vir onsself te bid nie. En daarom gaan ons vandag stilstaan by hierdie praktiese aspek van hoe om te bid vir genesing. En ek dink dit is so verskriklik belangrik, nê. Eintlik die fokus gaan wees hoe om vir ander mense te bid vir genesing. En dit gaan challenging wees. Hierdie boodskap is challenging. Jy gaan seker goed hoor vandag wat challenging is, wat jou gaan laat dink. Jy gaan waarskynlik 'n aha oomblik of twee in hierdie boodskap hê. En ek is bly as dit so gaan wees. En ek wil jou challenge, maak jouself oop om vandag te hoor wat die Here vir my en vir jou wil sê, wat Jehovah Rapha vir my en vir jou wil sê, wat sy kinders is, wat sy seuns en sy dogters is, hoe hy deur ons wil werk, hoe hy deur ons ook genesing wil bring. Dis nooit ons wat genees nie, dis altyd God, maar God wil vir my en jou gebruik. En ek gaan vanmôre met julle 'n boodskap deel wat dit so kosbaar verduidelik. En dit is 'n boodskap van John Lindell, Pastor John Lindell van James River Church in Amerika. Die afgelope tyd is daar soveel mooi goed wat in daardie gemeente gebeur. Daar is soveel genesings wat plaasvind waar die Here vir John Lindell spesifiek as lead pastor op 'n spesiale pad gevat het om hierdie goeders ook te leer. En hy het 'n studie ook hier oor gemaak en hy jy sal sien as hy hieroor praat, daar's passie in sy hart wanneer hy hieroor praat, juis omdat daar ook 'n tyd in sy lewe was waar hy nie noodwendig hierdie goed gesien het nie. En nou sien hy dit in sy gemeente. En kan ek net gou sê voor ons dit kyk, die doel van so 'n boodskap of dit waaroor ons praat vandag is nooit om sensasie te wek. Dit is nooit die doel nie. Die doel is om te doen wat God vir ons gesê het om te doen, om te wees wie God gesê het ons moet wees. Om sy hande en sy voete te wees op hierdie aarde, sodat hy verheerlik kan word, sodat hy geëer kan word. So hierdie boodskap is so kosbaar, die boodskap se titel is Praying for People to be Healed van John Lindell. En soos ek sê, dis challenging, so kom ons maak ons harte oop en kom ons vra vir die Here om in ons te beweeg. Kom ons maak ons oop toe. Vader, ek wil uit die diepte van my hart vir U baie baie dankie sê vir alles wat U besig is om vir ons te leer. U is besig om vir ons weer eens U self te openbaar en vir ons te wys, Here God, wie U regtig is. Sodat ons daai boks waarin ons U gesit het, sodat ons dit kan weggooi en dit kan expand en selfs uit die boks uithaal. Maar ek, Here, baie van hierdie goed is challenging en baie keer twyfel ons en sê ons, maar ons het nie hierdie goed al gesien en ons het dit dalk nie beleef nie. Maar dankie Here dat U vir ons kom wys wie U is en my gebed is dat U vanmôre geloof in ons sal kom opwek, dat U courage in ons sal kom gee wanneer ons luister na hierdie boodskap, Here, dat U ons as U seuns en dogters, as U kinders vandag sal kom oortuig daarvan dat U ons wil gebruik, dat ons sal ophou om die leuen van die Satan te glo en Here dat ons gaan dink na die tyd oor hierdie boodskap, dat ons gaan worstel daarmee totdat dit deel van ons lewe is. Want Here, my gebed is dat in hierdie eindtye waarin ons leef, want ek glo regtig as ek na die tye kyk, is ons in die eindtye, Here. Dat ons in hierdie tye weer vir U sal sien beweeg op maniere wat mense in awe sal laat staan voor U grootheid en mense in die koninkryk sal bring en U baie van die kinders sommer net weer nader aan U sal trek. En my gebed is dat U ons gemeente sal gebruik en dat U ons almal sal gebruik en juist daarom, Here, bid ek dat U nou in elk een van ons harte magtig sal kom werk, dat U Gees sal oorneem, Here, As daar weerstand is, dat u dit sal afbreek. As daar vraag is, Here, dat u dit vir ons sal uitsorteer en beantwoord. En dat ons sal oop wees en ontvanklik wees. Daarom sê ons vir die Here, praat met ons. Heilige Gees, leer ons vanmôre. My gebed is dat die woord op vrugbare grond sal val. En ek vra dit in die naam van Jesus Christus alleen. Amen. Kom ons luister na hierdie boodskap van John Lindell, Praying for People to be Healed.
I want to talk to you tonight. We started a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, on praying for people to be healed. And really, for some, this is a refresher. For others, it might be new. I know this. I know that for most of us, they tell us, sociologists tell us, we have to hear something 8 times before we own it, before it becomes real to us. And so I know I've talked about this before, but I simply want to encourage each of us to step out in believing God, not only for healing, but in the way that we work with people and respond to people who need healing. All too often when we're faced with someone who is in need of healing, we have a tendency to pray and ask God to heal them. But the fact of the matter, that's not what you see in the Gospels. It's not what you see in the book of Acts. In fact, what you see are a variety of ways in which people are healed. And so I want to just give you several of those. And I want to challenge you, as you encounter people who need prayer or need healing, that you would stop and you would just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do in this moment? And then do it by faith in Jesus' name. Most of the healings in the New Testament did not come because someone prayed for the sick. In fact, Jesus did not tell us to pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. That's very instructive. He said, heal the sick. How should we do it? Well, number one, lay hands on them. Jesus laid hands on people, but almost always that was accompanied by a command. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3, the leper came to him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. Interestingly enough, Jesus never said, I'm not willing. So, I mean, a lot of people get hung up on, well, is it God's will? Is it not God's will? Jesus never said, I'm not willing to heal. Whenever somebody came and asked for healing, Jesus healed them. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. That's the command. Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. A second way that you see healing, and this really has to do with what we just read, and that is rebuke a demon that is causing the sickness. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 38, Jesus left the synagogue, went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When it says he rebuked the fever, that is a word that is used almost exclusively in Luke's gospel for exorcism, casting out demons. In fact, in the Pillar Commentary, it says this, it is tempting to suggest that the woman's high fever was malaria, a common ailment in low-lying, waterbound Capernaum. If it was malaria, Luke implies it was demonically induced. In both the New Testament and rabbinic tradition, fevers are often attributed to divine punishment or demon possession. Luke precedes this story and follows it, so the story before and the story after involves exorcisms. This is the only healing miracle in which Jesus addresses the illness rather than the person, and the rebuke preserves the common Greek technical word reserved for exorcisms. So sometimes what's happening when somebody is ill is there is a evil spirit at work afflicting them. I mean, some people are very disturbed by that, but then consider that Paul says there was sent to me a messenger from Satan, a thorn in the flesh. All of us can, at different points, find ourselves in a situation where we are afflicted. And I've mentioned to you before the story with my heart racing and having, you know, SVT and postural orthostatic tachycardia, that kind of thing, and having to lay down. And there was a person in North Carolina who had a word, and when they heard about the condition, they said, this is demonic. If people around him, close to him, will fast and pray for 30 days, it's an evil spirit. It will break that spirit's power and he'll be healed. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm simply saying it doesn't mean you are demonized. It means you are in a spiritual battle. And in that particular instance, there is an evil spirit that is causing the sickness in a person. It's naive to think that can't happen. It's naive to think it can't happen to a Christian. So, I mean, I've seen it enough now to know that that is what happens. And in my own situation, I remember when I first got sick that Debbie said, I believe this is demonic. She said that from the very beginning, and yet it wasn't until we addressed it as that there was healing. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, here is the boy with seizures. He's suffering from epilepsy. The disciples can't heal him. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. In Mark chapter 9, a parallel passage, it says, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. So it's very interesting. As Jesus does that, the boy is healed. Another way to bring about healing is to command healing. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 32, there some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. And after he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And at this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. So he commands him to be healed, and he is. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9, he's in a synagogue. There's a man with a shriveled hand. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored. A command brought healing. You say, well, that's Jesus. Well, look at Peter in Acts chapter 9. As Peter travels about the country, he goes to visit the saints in Lydda. He finds a man by the name of Aeneas who had been a paralytic bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. And immediately he got up. It's a command. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, in Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and he called out, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. So there's a place for commanding. There's a place for praying for people again. We just did that just now. There's been, let me say this, some criticism of the fact that we do this and some criticism of the fact that we say how many people are 80% healed or we put a percentage on it and people are saying things that are ridiculous like, well, Jesus never did that. And if Jesus heals you, he heals you completely. And yet you see Jesus praying again for somebody. Mark chapter 8, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around and said, yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. I'm 80% healed. I'm just simply saying he's not completely healed. I mean, Jesus didn't put a percentage on it, but there's a place for diagnostic questions in praying for people. And sometimes when you prayed the first time and you begin to see something happen, pray again and see it completed. Or even if you didn't see anything the first time, pray again. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes and his eyes were opened and his sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. Listen, we've had plenty of testimonies that way. We were in Chorazim in Israel, and it's one of the three cities that Jesus cursed, Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazim, and because of the miracles that had been done in them. And we were in this house looking at the construction of it, made out of stone, the roof, and thinking about Jesus' healing miracles, the paralytic lowered through the ceiling, and then we did a healing service. So we're there, and we asked people, if you need to be healed, raise your hand. And so there was an individual standing next to me, happened to be a surgeon. And so I said, I just asked him what he needed to be prayed for. And he said, well, I've got two nerves and they go deep inside my arm near the elbow. And he said, honestly, it's like carpal tunnel. And he said, it's just a horrible pain and a stabbing pain. And he said, especially as a surgeon, he said, it's almost debilitating. So I said, well, and he said, and there's not anything they can do for him. So I said, well, let's pray. And so we commanded the nerves to be healed and the arm to be restored. So then I asked him, I said, how do you feel? He said, well, it's better, but it's still there. I said, okay, let's pray again. So we again just prayed and commanded the nerves to be healed and the arm to be restored. And he grabbed his arm and I said, are you okay? And he said, oh my goodness. He said, whatever happened there, he said it was super painful for an instant. And he said, now the pain's completely gone. So all that to say, pray again and pray in faith and believe God's gonna do it. And so you see that in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus. And again, when I mention people critical of that, I'm giving you the information because sometimes what happens is you see things or hear things and then you're like, oh, I wonder about that. I'm not giving it so you can go and debate people. I don't think you convince people by debating people. I think you're better off if people feel that way, bless them, just pray for them. But I think to respond to people is not helpful for them. And I don't think, especially on social media, I think is a terrible way to try to address anything. You know what? People are unhappy with what's happening here. I'm not unhappy. I'm very thrilled by all the healings. And we are seeing them continually. And so don't worry about defending anybody or defending the church. I think as well, if you know there are people who disagree with you, I don't think it's our job to try to argue. You're never going to argue people into agreement, all things being equal. Just love people. Just be kind to people. And when they need a miracle, pray for them. And so number five, instruct an act of faith. So sometimes telling people to do something, God might put it into your heart. Tell them to do this or tell them this, that when this happens, this will happen. So John chapter 9, verse 1, he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The word means sent. So the man went, washed, and came home seeing. In Luke chapter 17, this is the story of the 10 lepers. He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. So sometimes just giving people and instructions saying, go and do this, or go home, and in the morning you'll wake up whole. And that I've seen that happen many times. Number six, anoint people with oil. Obviously, we do that. It's something the disciples did. In Mark's gospel, it says they went out, preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. In James chapter 5, it says that if any one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. People say, well, you know, that's the way I'm comfortable doing it, and there is nothing wrong with that way, but I'm just saying it's like having only one tool in your toolbox. And you know what? It's great to have a hammer, but if you're needing to tighten a bolt, it's better if you have a wrench. So expand your thinking and ask the Lord to help you to remember. And I would suggest listening to the message again, writing down these scriptures, reading them, thinking about them, that all of us might grow in our ability to reflect the ministry of Jesus to the people that he calls us to minister to. Because after all, we're ministering in his name and by his power. And he set an example for us that we would follow in his footsteps. Amen? Dennis Bennett writes this about James chapter 5. Note the unconditional nature of the promise. We have no scriptural warrant to end a healing prayer with the faith-destroying phrase, if it be thy will. God has made it perfectly clear in his word, it's his will to heal the sick, period. Jesus never prayed for the sick in a conditional manner. Some remind us that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, if it be thy will, or rather not my will, but thine. That's an entirely different situation. Jesus knew the Father's will. He was just simply saying, if there's another way, I would rather have that. But in praying for people, we have to settle in our heart, it is the will of God. When I have pastors who ask me, what do I need to do in order to see what you're seeing at James River? And, you know, I'm careful about that because I believe God is doing something sovereign here and supernaturally wonderful as a result of that. So I always preface it with that, but I believe God wants to do it everywhere. And so I encourage them. Invariably, they'll say, well, I know I need to pray more. And I'm like, well, that's good. You should pray more. That's a good place to start. But I say this, you're going to have to cross a theological bridge that not everybody's willing to cross. They're like, what's that? It's God's will to heal, period. It's God's will to heal. Because until you come to that point, you're going to be debating theologically in your mind as you're trying to pray, and that certainly limits faith or makes it altogether impossible. God wants to heal people. Dennis Bennett goes on to say this, we do not need to make long prayers for the sick. When we have the faith to say it, a word of command can be effective. Be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus healed with a touch or a word, most often with a command. Be thou clean, he said to the leper. To the sick of palsy, he said, get up, pick up your mat, and go to your house. To the deaf man's ears, he commanded, be open. To the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. And it was instantly healed. What can happen sometimes is people pray long prayers because they're trying to build up their own faith. But either you have the faith in that moment or you don't. And I'm simply suggesting that while it's good to spend time in prayer, you need to have your devotions before you pray for the sick, not while you're praying for the sick. I mean, I think, you know, when you're coming in to pray for the sick, you better be prayed up. Because that's a major responsibility you're assuming to care for the people who need God to work a miracle. If somebody's got cancer and they need healing, they want to go to somebody who's prayed and who's ready, who can sense the presence of the Lord. But again, long prayers are not what brings healing. And yet, I would say at the same time, there are times when a person will be healed only as we tarry in the presence of the Lord. And that's different than a long prayer, where you wait in the presence of the Lord for God to do something supernatural. Been reading through some of Smith Wigglesworth's books and sermons, and just watching and learning. And in some instances, he would spend time with a person just waiting on the Lord. And in one instance, after an hour and a half, he said, I felt the Lord was in the place and the person was ready, and I commanded them to be healed, and they were. So sometimes there is a place for waiting in the presence of the Lord, but that's different than a long prayer to try to bring healing to them, if you're following me in that. Bennett adds this, and I would recommend this book to you. The book is a great book. It's The Holy Spirit in You. It's an older book, but I think says a lot of wonderful things about the gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in them. The one who feels led to pray for the sick should take time to ask God how he would have him proceed. I think that's really important. Lord, what is it? How do I need to pray for this need? Is this demonic? Do you want me to command the healing? Do I need to put my hand in touch? What is it that you're doing? Other gifts of the Spirit, such as the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, should be expected to be manifested in conjunction with the gifts of healing. There may be something in the sick person's life that is stopping the healing, and that could be revealed by a word of knowledge. Healing can take place in a variety of ways. Some healings are instantaneous. We've seen that. Some healings are gradual. They can happen. So anybody who's prayed for, I just encourage you never to say, well, I guess that didn't work. I guess God didn't heal me. God may be healing you right in this very moment, and you may walk out of this building and be healed. We've seen that happen. You may get up tomorrow morning and be completely whole. We saw that. We've seen that a number of times with people. Woman with Parkinson's was healed 2 days later. Another one with Parkinson's was healed 5 days later. But they knew God was working in their body. So sometimes it's gradual. Some healings are partial, but don't believe or think because you partially received a healing that you're not going to see the completion of the healing. You say, well, why does that happen? That will be a great question to ask when you get to heaven. I don't think we always understand, but obviously God is at work. In situations, Dennis Bennett writes, where we have desired to see healing and have not seen it, the fault is not with God, but with man. We are quick to say, God didn't do it. I guess he isn't ready to heal me. Yet the word of God says that he is, and right now. Let me just suggest to you that when the disciples could not heal the paralytic, they asked Jesus why they couldn't, and he gave them a really good answer. In Mark chapter 9, after Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Some manuscripts have prayer and fasting. In other words, it's because you don't pray enough. So there is a place, and I'm not in any way wanting to have you think if you don't have a prayer life that goes hours on end that you can't pray for the sick. I don't believe that. What I am saying is there are some people who will only be healed when people who can command the power of God because they've spent a lot of time in the presence of God pray for them or heal them. There is a place, as Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you pray more, you'll be able to do more. Fasting is praying more. It's focusing on God. And in Matthew chapter 17, he gives them another reason, because you have so little faith. So there were three things that were happening. They didn't have enough faith, and they didn't need a lot, just a little. but they didn't have any. And let me just suggest to you, in their situation, they believed they could heal the boy. The father brought him to the disciples. They prayed for him. They thought they could do it because they had done it with other people. So believing God heals and believing that you've prayed for people effectively and they've been healed is not the same as faith. Now that's hard for people to understand, but faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And there's a place for supernatural faith, the gift of faith, where you instantly have a supernatural divine confidence to call forth God's will in a situation. And they didn't have that. And you don't need a lot of it, you just need a little of it if it's the real thing. But don't ever mistake, I believe he can do it, as being the same as having the faith that he will. I believe they are two different things in the life of the believer. And, but you know, hey, the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus said, all things are possible for him who believes. Jesus is the one who provided the faith in that situation. The man didn't. So we have to be careful what we do with, well, I believe he can. There's a difference between I believe he can and I know he will. Faith is the I know he will. I believe he can is acknowledging who he is and what he said, and I believe mentally agreeing with that, which certainly has its place. All that to say, I think we have to be careful that we don't create a theology for why God doesn't heal where the Bible doesn't. So you have a lot of pastors, and I'm not saying this judgmentally because I've been in the same boat, but you have a lot of pastors who spend a lot of time preaching more sermons on why God doesn't heal than sermons that he does. And the reason why is because they're trying to help people deal with disappointment. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves coming up with rationales for why a healing didn't take place, when the thing to do is to go to the Lord and ask the Lord what was happening there. And you'll be surprised what God will speak to your heart as you quiet yourself in his presence and let him talk to you. And let him grow you, and let him teach you, and let him change you. So let me add this as well. Don't wait to pray until you need to pray. Time to pray is before you need to pray. You know, this is one of the, I think one of the motivations for having your time with the Lord is because as you, and it's one of the reasons, you know, if you have it at night or you have it in the morning, I'm not going to argue with people with where they ought to have it. Have it, just have it for sure. But I'm always thankful when I encounter circumstances and situations and I know that I've covered myself with the presence of the Lord. I've spent time with him. There is a peace that comes to a person and a confidence that comes when you know you've been in the presence of the Lord, you can sense his presence on your life and you know that he is working. I'm not saying if you haven't that you can't pray. I'm just saying there's an advantage to spending time with the Lord. A lot of people, when it comes to praying for the sick, don't feel they're strong enough spiritually and they don't think they have enough faith, so they don't pray. And that too is not, listen, there are times you might not feel you have the faith to believe for a person to be healed, but just stepping out and obeying the Lord in that situation and saying, God, I'm going to do it, and it's you, it's all you anyway, you might be surprised that there was faith there you didn't even know was there. I mean, there have been times when I've thought, well, I don't know whether I have the faith for that, and I've just learned that trying to decide if I have the faith or not is not helpful at all in walking in faith. Better to just obey yourself, your way to great faith. Obey the Lord and watch him work. Let me just close with this. I just think it's, and I brought this up several times, but I think of it a lot because I just think it's true. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. So he wants you to do what he's been doing. And you'll do greater things than these. Then he says a promise five times. And it's the only thing he says five times in his Last Supper discourse. He says a lot of great things, but he only says one thing five times. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. That's a crazy, wonderful promise, isn't it? I mean, that's an amazing. And a lot of times people, when they teach it, spend all their time giving all the disclaimers to it, which Jesus didn't, and the apostles didn't, and the New Testament doesn't. I just want to encourage you, just let the promise stand. Just let it stand. Jesus did. He said later, verse 14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. That's the second time he says it. John 15. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Read on, John 16. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Verse 24. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. The thing that gives us joy is answered prayer. You know what? God wants to do things through each one of you that are greater than any one of us can imagine. He wants to use you. He wants to demonstrate his power through you. Stop disqualifying yourself. When Jesus died and called you and empowered you and has qualified you through his work, not yours. Rest in that. Heal the sick.
Ek glo ons is vandag ge-challenged deur hierdie boodskap en ek hoop dat daar moments was wat jy gesê het, wow, ek het nog nooit so hieroor gedink nie. Ek hoop ook dat daar selfs oomblikke was wat jy dalk ongemaklik gevoel het, want dit beteken dat ek en jy ge-challenged word. En ek hoop dat daar waar jy nou sit, dat jy besef dat ons dink nie hieroor soos wat die woord sê ons moet nie. En dat het nodig is dat ek en jy weer vir God sal leer ken as Jehovah Rapha. Ek het verlede week dit gesê toe ons die boodskap afgesluit het en ek wil het weer sê. Die woord leer vir ons dat Jesus het almal genees wat na hom toe gekom het. Daar was nie een persoon wat Jesus nie genees het toe hulle na hom toe gekom het vir genesing nie. En dit is so significant, want het sê vir my dat healing was 'n belangrike deel van Jesus se aardse bediening. En nou is hy nie meer hier nie. Nou is ons as kerk sy liggaam. Ek en jy is deel van die liggaam van Jesus Christus. Wat hy wil gebruik. Hy is die een wat die werk doen, hy is die een wat die healing gee, maar hy wil my en jou gebruik. En ek wil jou challenge dat jy sal ophou om die leuen te glo dat God jou nie kan gebruik nie. Dat jy sal ophou om die leuen te glo dat God nie meer genees nie. Want hy doen. Hy doen. Ek het dit al gesien in ons gemeente. Ek het dit persoonlik self ervaar. Ons het dit in ons gesin al ervaar. Heidiglik is ons diep bewus daarvan as gesin dat God Jehovah Rapha is. En is my gebed dat ons gemeente rarig God sal sien as Jehovah Rapha. En dat ons gehoorsaam sal wees aan hom as hy vir ons sê dat ons vir ander moet bid wat siek is. Hy wil ons gebruik. Ek glo ons leef in die eindtye en ek glo dat in hierdie eindtye openbaar God om weer op baie besondere maniere sodat mense weer kan sien wie hy is. Sodat hulle weer kan nader kom aan hom en mense wat hom nie ken nie, hom kan leer ken. Ja, ek weet, party mense gaan vir my sê, maar ons bid party keer vir mense, dan word hulle nie gesond nie. En ek gaan nie 'n disclaimer gee nie, want ek hoef nie vir God verskoning te maak nie. God is soewerein. Hy kan en hy mag doen wat hy wil. Maar ek glo met my hele hart, dat hy Jehovah Rapha is. En ons moet doen wat hy vir ons sê, en ons los die genesing vir hom. Dis nie ek wat genees nie, dis nie jy wat genees nie. En ja, selfs al sou daar die kere wees wat ons bid vir genesing en het vind nie hier op aarde plaas nie, die oomblik wanneer daar die persoon sy asem of haar asem uitblaas, is daar volkome healing, want in die hemel is daar geen vorm van siekte nie. In die hiernamaals is daar geen disease nie, geen siekte nie, geen kanker nie, geen hartaanvalle nie, geen niks van daai goed nie. So eventually kom daar 100% genesing, maar ja, ons kan ook van daardie genesing hier op aarde sien. En ek wil jou uitdaag, luister weer na hierdie boodskap. As het nodig is, luister 'n derde en 'n vierde keer. Maak aantekeninge. Luister na verlede sondagse boodskap. Dink hieroor. Gaan doen bietjie in die YouVersion, is daar 'n hele klomp planne wat gaan oor genesing. Gaan doen bietjie van daardie devotions. Gaan kyk na die woord, wat die woord sê oor genesing. En hoe sal jy weet wat met my en jou gaan gebeur en wat God vir my en jou kan gebruik? Dit is regtig my gebed dat God ons vyf sal stuur en dat ons met vertroue, nie in ons eie geloof nie, maar in vertroue dat hy Jehovah Rapha is, dat ons met daardie vertroue vir mense sal intree en vir mense sal bid. Kom ons sit so en kom ons vra net vir die Here om ons te help in die proses. Here Jesus, dankie dat U nog steeds dieselfde is. U woord sê, U is gister en vandag en tot in alle ewigheid dieselfde. En ons glo dit, Here, en dankie dat ons weet, U het nie ophou om te genees nie. Ja, Here, ons het in 'n way opgehou om dit te glo. Ons het sinies geraak en skepties geraak en ons kyk na siekte en ons sê dis groter as U. Ons kyk na siekte soos wat die volk na Goliat gekyk het, die reus gesien het en nie vir U nie, en Dawid het vir U gesien en die reus was klein in sy oë en U die oorwinning gegee. En my gebed vir myself, vir my gesin, vir elkeen in Radical Life, vir elkeen wat hierdie boodskap hoor, het sy dit vandag is of deur die week of selfs op 'n ander tyd, Here, dat ons sal begin om siekte te sien as klein in vergelyking met wie is. Dat het nie hierdie reus sal wees waarop ons sal fokus nie, maar dat ons sal fokus op U, Here. En my gebed is dat ons sal glo dat U genees, dat U gees dit in ons sal werk. My gebed is dat U ons sal gebruik, dat ons met vrymoedigheid en met courage vir mense sal bid vir genesing, en dat ons dit sal doen soos wat U woord dit ook vir ons leer. Dat is die autoriteit wat U, Here Jesus, self vir ons gegee het, net voor U opgevaar het na die hemel toe. Dat ons daardie autoriteit sal neem en dit sal gebruik en dat U deur ons sal werk. My gebed is, Here, ook as daar enige iemand is wat nou na my stem luister, wat siek is, wat worstel met 'n ernstige siekte, kanker, hartprobleme, enige vorm van ernstige siekte, dan wil ek vir U kom vra, Here, dat U nou sal beweeg. En ek wil bely in die naam van Jesus Christus, dat Jesus Christus genees alle vorms van siekte. Jesus Christus genees hartsiektes. Jesus Christus genees longsiektes. Jesus Christus genees MS. Jesus Christus genees kanker en alle soorte van kanker. Jesus Christus genees wervelprobleme, rugprobleme, nekprobleme. Jesus Christus genees depressie. Jesus Christus genees bipolariteit. Jesus Christus genees angstigheid. Daar is nie 'n siekte wat Jesus Christus nie kan genees nie. En in die naam van Jesus Christus kom spreek ek sy naam oor elkeen wat nou struggle met enige vorm van siekte. Ek kom rebuke in die naam van Jesus Christus daardie siekte en ek cast it out in die naam van Jesus Christus. En ek spreek healing in die naam van Jesus Christus. O Heere, werk die healing. Laat die Gees nou, elkeen wat nou ontvanklik was hiervoor, laat die Gees nou genesing in elkeen van daardie persone se liggame werk, volkome genesing, vernuwe elke sel, vernuwe elke orgaan. Versterk ons geloof, Here. En wys vir ons is Jehovah Rapha. Wys dit sodat ons faith sal groei, sodat mense sal sien en sal glo. Dankie dat U so goed is vir ons. Dankie vir wat U doen. Dankie dat U ons nooit, maar nooit alleenig los nie. O Here, dankie dat U na ons kyk en dankie dat U vir ons sorg en voorsien. En in die naam van Jesus Christus bid ek al hierdie dinge. En ek vra ook nou, seën elkeen wat my stem hoor in hierdie week. Hou vir ons styf vas in die liefde en genade. Cover vir ons met die bloed en hou onheil van ons weg. En Here, laat ons U getuies wees en laat ons U koninkryk laat kom hier op aarde sodat mense U kan ken. Help ons om geduldig te wees, om liefdevol te wees, om empatie met mense te hê wat struggle en seer kry. Help ons om in ons werke, in ons gesinne, in ons vriendskappe, in ons huise, in die skool, by die studies, waar by die universiteit, in die colleges, in die technikon en oral, Here, help ons om net U liefde te wys. Om gracious te wees met mense. Help ons om nie net te praat en te sê ons behoort aan U nie, maar help ons om so te lewe dat die wêreld sal sien dat ons aan U behoort. Ek bid ook die beskerming oor elkeen van ons af in hierdie week. En my gebed is dat ons almal weer volgende Sondag op hierdie wyse saam sal kan vergader. Bid dit in Jesus naam. Amen.